Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Because of the recession, definitely our sales are down. We still see a lot of people coming through. They just can't afford to buy as much as they used to.
A thrift store struggles despite the economic downturn. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 17th, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. The battle line over medical marijuana grew sharper today. The Los Angeles District Attorney stirred up the pot, saying he will prosecute dispensaries no matter what the city council does. Albert Sabate reports.
District Attorney Steve Cooley could send Los Angeles marijuana policy up in smoke. Cooley said today he will prosecute dispensaries that sell medical marijuana, even if the Los Angeles City Council adopts an ordinance that does not ban sales. The City Council has no authority to amend state law or Proposition 215, Cooley said. Rolling out a blunt ordinance to undermine state law is what Cooley calls irrelevant and counterproductive. Yesterday, the Committees for Public Safety and Planning edited a proposed ordinance to allow the sale of medical marijuana. The contention arises over the word sale. State law does not allow for sale of medical marijuana, but the ordinance would allow patients to make cash donations to compensate collectives. Dispensaries would also have to be not-for-profit and verify the quality and origin of the marijuana. The City Council will debate the ordinance tomorrow. Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
Charlie Beck cleared his last hurdle today on the way to becoming chief of police. And as Ariel Edwards Levy reports, this one wasn't much of an obstacle.
14 ayes.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, our next police chief, Charlie Beck.
New L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck was sworn in this morning after a unanimous vote by the City Council. Surrounded by colleagues and family, Beck received a universally warm welcome in council chambers. Members all praised his selection, as Councilmember Ed Reyes noted.
I ask these tough questions because people will categorize it as a love fest.
In answer to some of those questions, Beck promised to focus on issues such as preparing for disasters and increasing cooperation between agencies. He also stressed the need to offer alternatives to gang activity.
You have to have prevention programs to keep kids out of gangs. You have to have intervention programs. And we're looking at the specter of so many parolees coming out into the general population because of the state's budget crisis. And if we don't have reentry programs for them, you know, I know some people that do.
Beck said one of his main initiatives would be to decentralize the police department.
One of my bottom line philosophies is that policing, one size does not fit all. Every community needs something different, and we have to address those needs.
Councilmember Richard Alarcon lauded the depth of talent in the police department and suggested that Beck's family ties to the LAPD are a piece of what set him apart. Beck's father, George, is a retired deputy chief. And other members of his family have also served.
The history that you have in your blood is a foundation that others don't have. I think it gives you a look into some of the things that were going on before, and I think that's part of the reason you were selected.
After being sworn in, Beck received his new badge, which, Councilmember Greg Smith said, was symbolic.
It looks a lot like the badge you have, but it's a lot heavier, because with it carries the hopes and aspirations of the 13,000 employees that will work for you as sworn and unsworn civilian employees of the department. It has with it the trust and the respect of the 4 million people of the city of Los Angeles.
Beck takes office at a time when the budget crisis is placing pressure on the LAPD. Ariel Edwards Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
California's Department of Insurance released a consumer report card today for five major health insurers. Aetna, Cigna, and Health Net of California received 3 stars out of 4. United Healthcare and Anthem Blue Cross got 2 stars. The department used customer feedback and quality of care to assign the ratings. The full report is on the Department of Insurance website. When football player Michael Vick got busted for dogfighting, the scandal quickly became national news. Today, dogfighting remains a common crime in American cities. Now, L.A. County's district attorney is unveiling a new program to stop dogfighting in the county. Lauren Whaley reports from the DA's office.
Dogfighting tip line.
That's the new 24-hour tip line in Spanish and English that people can call starting today to anonymously report dog fighting.
Now,
Anyone with information about dog fighting in Los Angeles County can call one number and get that information directly to law enforcement.
District Attorney Steve Cooley helped spearhead the program that will pay residents up to $5,000 for information. Dogfighting is a felony that carries a maximum sentence of 3 years, but even watching a dogfight can land you in jail for 6 months.
And that number is 1-877-NO-2-FIGHT, F-I-T-E.
If this is an emergency or an animal fight is in progress, please hang up and dial 911.
To show the brutality the dogs suffer when made to fight, Cooley brought in pit bulls Honey and Clancy. Honey had been slashed with razor blades, and Clancy was missing both ears, which he lost while fighting. The dogs were friendly and calm, having been rescued from their lives in the ring. But there are dogs out there who aren't so lucky.
We have seen a big uptick in what we call street dog fighting, urban fighting, less scheduled, more impromptu.
Jennifer Fearing is the California Senior State Director for the Humane Society of the U.S.
This tip line is going to actually help us get a handle on just how pervasive the problem is in Los Angeles. We have a real opportunity to discover a lot here in L.A. that I'm sure is going to be useful for the Humane Society of the United States and other urban areas, too.
Fearing says she has big plans for Los Angeles. She hopes to bring community outreach initiatives such as pit bull training programs, where young men become trainers for their pit bull pets. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
The number of Angelenos joining the Army went up 35% this year. National Army recruitment only increased by 11%. It was the Army's best year of recruiting in the city since 2003, with more than 2,300 soldiers signing up. Army recruitment tends to rise and fall with the economy, but Army officials say better community outreach attracted new recruits. The Orange County Ortega fire continues to burn this afternoon after 300 firefighters were sent out to get it under control. Our reporter Jessica Flores spoke to the Orange County fire captain as he was on his way to the scene.
Firefighters are working today to contain a 245-acre blaze near San Juan Capistrano. The fire started yesterday when a tractor knocked over a power pole. Firefighters are attacking hot spots using bulldozers, helicopters, and by carrying in 3,000-foot hoses. And Orange County Fire Captain Greg McKeown says that's no easy feat.
So if you can imagine carrying 80 pounds of extra weight in a hot environment, very smoky, hard to see, and now you're trying to climb up a slope that is very, very steep with unsure footing and debris rolling down, and you're trying to, at the same time, pull a inch-and-a-half wide hose line full of water up the hill with you, you can see it's not only hard and tiring, but very dangerous as well.
Already, four firefighters had minor injuries, including an eye injury when a firefighter was struck with debris. There was also a knee injury, a shoulder injury, and one firefighter was treated for exhaustion. Officials say the fire is now about 75% contained. They hope to get a line around the fire by tonight, at which point they will call it contained. Fire officials say no structure or homes are threatened in the area. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Now to weather. Tonight will be a partly cloudy one with light winds and a low of 52. Tomorrow will bring us sunny skies with a high of 69, and tomorrow night will be cool with light winds and a low of 51. Thursday will be sunny as well with highs in the low 70s and lows in the low 50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll head out to Cal State LA to talk with students and teachers about looming budget cuts. In an economic downturn, you would expect thrift stores to be a booming business. But as Newly Paul reports for one store, that's not the case.
A t-shirt, $1. Pair of shoes, $1. Total with tax, $2.19.
Prices are rock bottom at the Sunshine Thrift Store. You would expect a mob in here, rifling through the racks to grab the best stuff. But the aisles are almost empty.
Because of the recession, definitely our sales are down. We still see a lot of people coming through, they just can't afford to buy as much as they used to.
That's Jennifer Coody, manager of the thrift store on the corner of 20th Street and Vermont. She says sales have fallen by about 25%.
We have a lot of stuff out there for 50 cents right now because we aren't selling as much at the regular price.
Jennifer says regular price means lower than the average thrift store. That's because the aim is to serve the inner city people. The Sunshine Shop is run by World Impact, a Christian missionary organization working with the urban poor. Donations come from churches all over LA County and beyond, from Riverside to Pasadena and LA to Malibu.
Right now I've got a bag full of hats and purses and bags. These are going to go to be priced.
Okay, so they're in good condition?
Yeah, they're in good condition.
The store stocks all items of daily use: clothes, furniture, kitchen and home appliances, cosmetics, something like a small-scale Walmart. The books, though, are free.
If you can't afford to put clothes on your kids, then you're not going to pay 50 cents or a dollar for a book.
But that's the only thing that's free. Jennifer says even in hard times, some people find it difficult to accept free handouts.
There's a dignity issue there, and they're paying something for it. It's not free, but they're paying something that they can afford to pay.
With the recession, Jennifer says she had to lay off one full-time employee. Now there are five people working here. Income from the store goes into supporting a local school and the church. Though right now, low sales aren't helping that mission too much. But Jennifer hopes the economy will soon turn around, bringing shoppers trooping back in. Newly Paul, Annenberg Radio News.
The Cal State University Board of Trustees began a two-day meeting on a recover and reinvest budget plan for the Cal State system. Neela Jamie reports the plan asked the state to restore a total of $884 million that was cut from the state budget.
The 23-campus Cal State system has reduced enrollment, decreased salaries, and cut classes over the last year. Today, faculty and students gathered at the Cal State LA Student Union to demand more class sections next quarter. Professor Kimberly King, an executive of the Cal State Faculty Association, says one-third of the regular classes have been cut.
Students had to end up enrolling in classes that they didn't even need, that are not going to benefit them as far as their major or graduation, which is going to make it take them longer to graduate.
King says teachers are losing 9% of their salaries, and students are paying 32% more in fees. They're paying more and getting less. Gabriella Serratos is a member of Students for Quality Education, which educates students on budget cuts. She says the lack of classes has delayed her graduation.
I'm very confused because we were promised, you know, with a master plan of higher education that we would have quality education. And quality means that we would have these classes open to us so we can graduate, right? So it upsets me when, you know, what they promise us, you know, is not. They can't even do that, you know?
Alex Castillo is a sophomore majoring in psychology. He was gathering signatures for AB 656, a proposal that would allow education to receive money from a 9.9% sales tax on oil.
We need this bill to be passed because it is going to help universities and it's going to keep the doors of the university open.
CSU's enrollment is up 53% from last year. The school is looking to reduce the student population by 40,000 next year. Luz Montolto is a counselor at Cal State. She has gone back to a salary from 2005, but she feels worse for the students.
Yeah, I feel stupid. Just like I said in there, I'm trying to bring you in, and the university's telling me I have to kick you out.
Montolto blames the governor and the legislature for the current crisis.
The majority of these people, I would venture to say maybe 60% of them or more, are graduates of either the Cal State system, the UC system for sure. You know, what the hell are they doing? They made it through and now they're going to shut the door? That's bull.
Faculty and students also gathered in Long Beach to protest outside of the Board of Trustees meeting. The trustees vote tomorrow on whether or not to grant more than $800 million to Cal State schools. Neela Jamie, Annenberg Radio News.
As the U.S. Senate prepares to debate health care reform, one of the bigger issues will be whether or not to include an amendment that would make it difficult to get abortions paid for through your health insurance. The amendment was introduced by Democrat Bart Stupak, and it's making some Democrats back away from the bill. I spoke with Jarena Josel, the Associate Director of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles, about the amendment and the potential impact it will have on women if it's included in the final bill.
You know, we firmly believe that a woman should have the ability when she's facing either an unplanned pregnancy or a pregnancy where something has gone wrong, where or maybe there might be a fetal anomaly, that in those difficult cases, a woman should be able to make the decision that is best for her and for her family. And supporting that kind of personal decision-making means that we need to make sure that reproductive health services are not only legal but also accessible. For a woman who might have few financial resources, this is really going to limit her access to the safe and professional care that she needs.
So how is this amendment different from the Hyde Amendment that was passed in 1976, which already prohibits the use of federal funds to pay for abortions?
So the Stupak ban is a radical proposal that really upends the status quo when it comes to abortion coverage in the United States. And the Stupak ban goes much further than the Hyde Amendment ever has. And would actually restrict abortion coverage by private health insurance plans in a completely unprecedented manner.
Can you expand exactly how it will do that?
Sure. It literally would prohibit women from using their own private funds to purchase insurance coverage that covers the full range of reproductive health care, including abortion services. So even if a woman is completely paying with her own private money for her insurance plan, that could not be part of her benefits package.
Now, some have said that the amendment would disproportionately affect women in low-income communities. Do you agree or disagree with that notion?
The impact, unfortunately, is much broader than just low-income communities. It affects women in lower and middle-class categories, and this would really impact millions of women who today have this coverage as part of their insurance plan. One of the core tenets of healthcare reform has been that if you are happy with your health insurance, you should be able to keep it. If the Stupak ban remains part of healthcare reform, that will not be the case, and we will see millions of American women losing coverage that they currently have.
Now, from your perspective, is it worthwhile to keep the Stupak amendment in this healthcare reform legislation if it means that a healthcare bill will finally be passed?
You know, we don't believe that a woman's health is ever something that we should be willing to compromise on. We are firmly committed to passing a health care reform package that includes access to the broad range of reproductive health care services, and we're going to really be fighting these next few weeks to make sure that comes to pass.
That was Jarena Josel, the Associate Director of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood Los Angeles. South L.A. is one of the areas that stands to benefit from an injection of new money for L.A. County's Black Infant Health Program. Richie Duchon has more on where the money is coming from.
First 5 L.A. is a child advocacy group that gets its money from tobacco taxes. Today, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted to accept more than $800,000 from First 5 L.A. The money will be invested in pediatric and preventative health care for Black pregnant mothers and children under the age of 5. The programs that will receive money are spread across South L.A., the San Fernando Valley, and the San Gabriel Valley. Health programs like the Black Infant Health Program are in desperate need of money after the state made drastic budget cuts earlier this year. The funding from First 5 L.A. will only keep the program alive for another 9 months. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Carlos Salcedo to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. What's going on, Carlos?
Thanks, Pete. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, new guidelines have been announced for breast examinations that have stirred controversy from the medical community. We spoke with a breast cancer survivor to get her take on these guidelines. And you heard about the protests at Cal State LA. We have a reaction from Cal State Long Beach students on the budget cuts to education. Plus, the LAPD is trying to be more transparent by showing the community how it trains its officers using non-lethal weapons. All that and much more tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision and always online at etvn.org.
Thanks, Carlos. That wraps it up for us here today and for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News. I'm Pete Griffin. Have a good one.